3, 2, 1, and we are good. So, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the John Seabolt Show. I am your host, Jonathan Seabolt, and today I have with me on the podcast, first wrestler on the podcast, Shane Storm. I appreciate you joining me, man.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, just right off, I'm just going to kind of just jump right into it, man, just out of curiosity, because I'm semi-familiar with you. I'm more so familiar with you via Gary and ASW. But let's just kind of start from the beginning here. So, how long have you been wrestling? When did you start?
I actually had my first match November 3rd of 2001, so I've roughly 17 years.
17 years? How old are you?
I am 34. I started when I was 17.
Wow. Okay, cool. I mean, I didn't think that you were, like, I didn't think you were young, because I saw you in Green Valley when, Mountain State ran. I saw you, like,
okay.
5 or 6 years ago, or, well, God, yeah. Probably longer than that, but I didn't know that you'd been wrestling that long. That's super, super awesome. Where did you train at?
I trained in Ashland, Kentucky with Bobby Blaze. You might know him from Smoky Mountain or WCW, but I had went to a show in Winfield, West Virginia, that he had ran, and talked to him at intermission and got hooked up that way. And I started training down there in Ashland probably around June of 2001.
Okay, wow. Man, that's crazy. So within June to November, that's 5 months, and you were having your first match.
Yeah. We probably trained as me and a friend. He used to wrestle around this area as Chris King. His real name's Chris Brown, but okay. I've been friends with him since kindergarten, but we went and trained together, but we probably trained three or four times a week, so we were definitely getting it in.
Yeah, no, that's good, because I know a lot of places that'll do the schools will be literally like a weekend training, and you'll train, you know, once a weekend, and that'll be it. So that's good that you got your time in. It probably helped develop the skills a lot faster.
Yeah, definitely.
What was it like training there? Like, I've always been interested. Like, I've trained a little bit, but I've never been to an actual training school, if that makes sense.
Right.
So what was, like, kind of the training regimen? Like, what kind of routines and drills and stuff like that did they have you going through?
You know, we started out, he took us to, like, this dark, dingy, I'm sure rodent-infested gym, and we just wrestled, like, on high school wrestling match, just mat wrestling, chain wrestling, and we probably did that for I would say the first month. And you know, at the time, I'm like, you know, I want to get in the ring and do all that cool stuff,
right.
But looking back on it now, I'm very, very grateful for that time, because it gave me a good base,
right?
You know, to start. And so we did that probably for a month, and then we moved into the ring and learned some just basic ring stuff, and that was pretty much it. He had us doing 10-1s every day, which are you do 10 Hindu squats, 10 squats and 1 push-up, then you do 9 squats and 2 push-ups. You work your waist down to 1 squat, 10 push-ups, and then you work your way back up to where you started. Wow. So by the time you're done, you're doing 100 and some of each. And, you know, when we first started, it was taking us like 10, 12 minutes. But I would say probably 3 or 4 months into it, we could knock those out in probably 6 minutes or so.
Okay. That's cool. Did, like, when you started training, did you have any family that was like, that's kind of stupid, you shouldn't do that? Or was there any kind of negative reaction from anybody, like any close people or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, my mom had the, of course, told me I was going to get hurt and die, that kind of thing. But
right.
I had a couple friends that didn't watch wrestling, that didn't understand it, you know, thought I was dumb for doing it. But, other than that, no, everyone was pretty supportive. So.
So when you debuted, where did I want to know? When you debuted, was it under the name Shane Storm?
No, actually, I wrestled my first match, one and one match only, as Shane Matthews, and then someone let me know, and that was in Ashland, Kentucky, at the Crab Elementary Gym, I want to say. But anyway, I wrestled as Shane Matthews, and then someone let me know that there was a Shane Matthews around this area, so I actually went to the phone book and just opened up the phone book and pointed to a name, and it was terrible. And so I picked again, and I had Strom, and so I changed that to Storm.
Storm.
And
Well, I mean, it's not bad, man. I mean, one of the greatest technicians ever, Lance Storm. So it's not a bad
no,
surname
it's
to have there.
not too bad.
That's cool. Yeah, I was wondering where that came from because I know that a lot of wrestlers don't use their real names, but it intrigued me. It always intrigues me when somebody has a real name and then they change their wrestling name to just another real name. That's always intrigued me as to how it comes about.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me my real name. They like my real name better than my gimmick name, and I don't know. I've never felt that way. I mean, my real name's okay, but
I could
I
see it
don't.
either way.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man. When you're starting out, did you have a like who were you basing like what who were you basing your styles off of? Like what maybe who were your influencers growing up and stuff like that?
I am a huge Curt Hennig mark. So
Right.
I stole a lot of his stuff, or I borrowed a lot of his stuff.
Okay.
Bret Hart, I liked a lot growing up. S.A. Rios, I liked a lot growing up. I didn't steal his stuff because I'm not athletic and skilled like he is, but
That's actually those are refreshing. Brett, I mean, I hear people say Brett a lot, but you don't. Even though he's always considered arguably one of the greatest ever, you don't hear a lot of people mention Curt Hennig when they
yeah.
talk about influence. And S.A. Rios, that's I know exactly what you're talking about. S.A. had a, I mean, he didn't last too long when he went to WWF, but he, I get what you're saying. He had a personality to him and stuff.
Yeah, just so, some of the just some of that aerial stuff he did blew my mind watching him, and I tried to do some of that stuff when I started, and I just didn't have, I don't know if I didn't have the coordination or just the ability to do it, but I couldn't do it. But I like to watch
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely I could not do that. I can't even wrestle, so that's
it.
so you've been wrestling for 17 years. Where kind of I mean obviously not everywhere, but what because I think a lot of people think, "Oh, you're just a local wrestler, you just wrestle local," but I'm sure you've probably been not everywhere, but you've probably been up and down the coast, right? Where all have you wrestled state-wise?
Obviously West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina. I want to say that's about it. Tennessee, I wrestled in Mexico. That was awesome.
Whoa, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
I think that's about
definitely more than just like a regional. You're definitely not just like, "Oh, I'm just West Virginia only" type of thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool because, when I started, I thought, okay, I'll wrestle once a month in this town, 5 minutes from my house.
Right.
And I was gonna be happy with that. And then, if I was to tell myself then what I've done now, there's no way I'd believe it, because I've been very lucky. I've been very blessed to wrestle a lot of my heroes that I watched growing up when I was younger. So,
Right. Yeah, who I know that just the one that I saw, I was at the show that Gary ran when you faced James Storm. But who else which honestly, I know James Storm gets a lot of flack and people say he's like super lazy and stuff, but I thought he worked his tail off that night and you did too. Like I thought it was a very, very good match. But who else have you worked?
Dusty Rhodes would have to be the top of that list.
You're Dusty?
Glenville, West Virginia, Glenville State College, for NWA Tri-State. Probably 12 years ago.
Wow.
I looked into that. He was on the show, obviously, and me and my tag partner had wrestled a tag match earlier in that night, and someone, it's a pretty big locker room. I would say probably like high school basketball size. The locker room is huge. But someone comes up to me and they're like, "Hey, Dusty Rhodes wants to talk to you." And so immediately I'm like, "Oh, damn it." I was like, "What, did I do something in my
Right.
match? I was like, did I say something back here?" So I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, what did I do to offend him? And so I walk up to him and he says, "Hey, what do you think if me and the guy that I was going to wrestle tag up and wrestle you and your partner? Would you be okay with that?" And inside I'm freaking out. I'm like,
Right.
"Yes, I would enjoy that, sir, sure." And he said, "Well, go get your partner and we'll talk some stuff over real quick." And I was like, "Okay." So my partner happened to be outside smoking, so I can go outside and I'm like, "Hey, Jerry, put out your cigarette and come in here. We're wrestling Dusty Rhodes." And he was like, "Yeah, okay, Shane. Ha ha ha." I was like, "Jerry, if you've never believed anything I've ever told you before, believe me when I tell you to put out your cigarette. We're coming in here. We're going to wrestle Dusty Rhodes." And so, he started freaking out. And so we got to wrestle Dusty Rhodes, so that was cool. But,
Yeah, man, that's
so.
gotta be, that had to be intense, 'cause Dusty, I mean, even, what'd you say, 12 years ago? I mean, obviously, even at that
Yeah.
point, living legend status, that's
Oh,
insane.
absolutely. Yeah. But I've wrestled Dusty Rhodes. I've got to wrestle Ivan Koloff, Tito Santana.
Was Ivan with Gary? It seems like, didn't he bring Ivan in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I actually got to do a Russian chain match with him, so that was cool. Tito Santana, Shane Douglas, Tracy Smothers, Abyss,
Nice.
Demolition. That was cool because I was a huge fan growing up. So standing in the ring while that music, while that music plays, and they're
Yeah.
walking to the ring, I was like, "Yeah, this is cool."
Yeah.
I've been very, very blessed when it comes to that stuff. The Rock and Roll Express, I've got to wrestle. That was, again, I loved them, so.
Yeah. And then Ricky, I mean, I still think, for his age, I still think Ricky Morton is the man.
Oh, no, man, he can go. I've seen him do, just recently, Hurricanrana. He'll do suicide dives. He'll do all kinds of crazy
Yeah,
stuff, and you're like, whoa.
he still goes, man. That's cool.
Yeah, he does.
So what, out of all the people that you've wrestled, like all the, legends, quote unquote, like what would be your favorite, of that? But okay, and we'll say excluding Dusty, because I'm
Man, that's tough. I would probably say Ivan Koloff, just because he was just genuinely such a super, super nice guy. Probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met in wrestling. And Bobby Eaton is up there. Definitely is one of the nicest guys, but I would say that Ivan is a close second. He was just awesome. That's all I can say. He was very
That's
helpful in
cool.
terms of giving me advice and encouragement and that kind of thing. And so I would probably say Ivan Koloff.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that being, he's Ivan's the man.
Yeah.
So again, I hate to constantly bring up Gary, but again, that's like my main exposure, and I know that you working with Gary. So how are when he brings star, and honestly, anywhere, it doesn't just there. I know Gary, every show will have some kind of
Yeah.
legend or something like that. How do those guys usually react to the boys in the locker room? Or has there, I mean, you don't have, I guess you don't have to, be super vocal about anything, but like, are for the most part, they pretty, because I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble or anything like that, but like, for the most part, are they receptive, or are they cool about stuff? Or they, or does anybody come in there kind of egotistical, or?
No, I can't think of anyone that's ever came in and you know, try to big league us or big shot us or anything like that. Everyone's real cool. And no, everyone's real cool. Everyone's real receptive, friendly. And in terms of, you know, if you're resting them that night, they're real receptive to, hey, what do you want to do? Hey, what do you do? What are your spots?
That's cool.
What, you know, a lot of times, I think people think it's, you know, you get one of those name guys in there or whatever, and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And I've never really experienced that. You know, people, the people I've worked with are real, open to suggestions of what you want to do or whatever.
That's cool. Also, this just hit me, so jumping back a little bit. When you first started, and I know that you said that you were just like, oh, I'll just work a weekend here or there, and I'll be fine. But what was your ultimate goal? Like, did you plan on just being like the quote unquote weekend warrior, or was there a point when you hit and you were like, I want to wrestle every day, or what was kind of your ultimate goal when you got into wrestling, or was it just to have fun?
You know, it was wrestling was something that obviously I watched growing up, and to be honest with you, I had probably until I was in maybe sixth, seventh grade, I had no idea that independent wrestling was even a thing. And there was actually a guy who wrote articles for the Charleston paper every weekend about wrestling, and he would mention the independent or like the independent local shows, and that's when I got exposed to it. But yeah, I thought, you know, I'll do this for fun, and it'll be a cool story to tell people. And then, I don't probably I would say probably after my first match, something just clicked, and it was like, you know what, I've got to do this as much as possible. So.
You got bit by the bug, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
That's interesting. So when you grew up, which I mean, I think a lot of wrestling fans now have it in their mind where they're like, oh no, I always knew about this. But I think that's a lot of like, I mean, there's a lot of elitism in wrestling fans. So growing up, did you just watch the main stuff that was on TV? I mean, were you a bigger WWF or WCW guy?
Growing up, I was definitely a bigger WWF fan. I probably didn't know WCW even existed until I'd say like 92, maybe.
Gotcha.
But I was definitely a big WWF fan. You know, I had all the figures that you could have. I had a Macho Man Wrestling Buddy.
I had a Macho Man wrestling buddy also.
And the one thing that sticks out in my mind is watching WWF and the angle where Jake the Snake's Cobra bit Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, I'd have to go back and look to see how old I was, but I can remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, they ran some awesome stuff, man. I miss that's honestly one of the things I miss the most about wrestling is that kind of that golden era of wrestling. Because I'm actually pretty opposite when it comes to wrestling. I don't think the Attitude Era is the greatest thing that has ever existed.
I agree.
I think that people trash on, and that's the other thing, man. I'm in no way, shape, or form an armchair booker. I try to just enjoy stuff for what it is, and it has helped a lot. But I miss the thing I miss the most about in wrestling, and I'm sure you watching it as a wrestler probably bums you more than anything. But I don't like how there's just no psychology today. Nobody sells anything. Like, and the commentators have to tell you, oh, don't forget, he has a figure four. That's why he did that chop block one time. Like, instead of just selling the stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's I think people have become jaded. I think like fan, you know, 'cause you know, like when I was growing up, you know, people like nowadays people want to say, like, I know he just lost the title or whatever, but Brock Lesnar was a part-timer or whatever. But when I was growing up and Hulk Hogan was the champion, you never saw him on never saw him on Monday Night Raw ever.
Yep, actually.
And I
oh, go ahead. I was gonna say I just looked at. I don't know if you ever go to Cage Match, but I went to Cage Match and I was looking up, because I've always disliked how people trash Brock for never showing up,
right.
And I looked up Hogan, and Hogan in his from 87 to 90. He didn't wrestle more than 15 times in a year on TV.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
And so it's, and that's what I, every time somebody starts trashing Brock, I'm like, man, I sure hope you didn't enjoy any era where Hulk Hogan was the champ.
Right. Yeah. And even, I don't think he did a lot of house shows. I know I went to a house show when I was younger, in Huntington, and, it was, I want to say it was the barbershop. They were doing a barbershop segment. Whoa. And, I want to say it was Typhoon, maybe, that was there. But, you know, when I went back and watched it on TV, they had somehow, I don't know if, like, they green-screened or what, but it was Hulk Hogan in the Huntington Civic Center, and I was like, now, wait a minute. That didn't happen.
Yeah. That sounds like something they would do, man.
Yeah.
yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, I dislike the hatred on Brock because I feel like it's unwarranted. And the thing is, we live in an era where everybody, and I'm a big New Japan fan, but people act like New Japan can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Okada held the belt, held that IWGP title for 750 days, or give or take, whatever, and defended it 12 times. Brock held his title for 350 plus days, and he defended it 14. So. And then people, when I say that, they're like, oh, but the match quality's better. And I'm like, but the argument's not match quality. The argument is he never shows up.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't think Brock puts on bad matches.
He does what he needs to do, and it's entertaining.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, and, I hear, like I was reading some stuff about people getting mad because Ronda Rousey, quote, squashed Alexa Bliss.
Right.
And I'm like, well, now, come on. If, you know what I mean? She's a UFC champion. You don't think she could beat her
in a fight?
She could beat her. Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think Ronda, I think she's doing good. She's a little cringy with her trash talk, but I think that's just going to come in time.
Yeah, right.
But and, I think that she's all right.
But as far as her work, I was because I was at that WrestleMania and I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be much, much worse, and it was pretty good. Actually,
it was, man. It was a fantastic match. Which I freaked out in that match. I'm a huge Drake Younger fan. I like and as a pro wrestler, you probably have one of two reactions, and that's okay. I'm a big deathmatch fan as well, and Drake Younger was the official for that match, so I kind of freaked out for that too. But. I think she's good, man. I think that
she is.
I think that she's I think she's solid. I think that Shayna Baszler chick in NXT is good too.
Yeah, she is.
They're making some good transitions.
No, I don't want to sound like I know anything, but I think they're booking her. It's almost like I think they're booking her right. It's almost like she's doing her UFC stuff in the ring, you know what I mean? So in terms of believability, that's there because I believe she could do that stuff.
I agree.
If she was out like moonsault, then I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily know if I'd buy that, but.
Right. Yeah. No, she's just in there fighting, really.
Right.
Is what it looks like. Of course, you know, when people start throwing around and I'll say the words loosely, but I've always said that, especially your quote unquote smarky wrestling fans, they really, I don't think, understand what the word job or squash or any of that stuff, because they'll throw it out anytime. Yeah. Anytime anybody loses, they say that they're jobbing, and it's like, I don't think that's the actual definition, man.
No, a lot of times people get that confused. I know a while back when Daniel Bryan was like at the top of his popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that angle where he joined the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
And he had wrestled once already. And then he closed out the show in a cage match. I can't remember against who, but against he closed out the show in a cage match, and I want to say he was like, oh, I can't believe they're squashing Daniel Bryan like that, and they're not pushing him. And I was like, dude, he got two segments on primetime TV like that.
Yeah.
That's not cheap air.
Yep. I don't like the idea of it being a negative term anyway, man, because back when I was a kid, like, the quote-unquote jobber, that was a very important job. You had one of the most important jobs, and that's to make the superstars look like $1 million.
That's exactly right, because, you know, you're only as good as the person you beat. So, you know, if you're wrestling someone who looks like crap and you beat them, well, who cares?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You just beat someone who looked like crap anyways. But if you beat someone who, you know, if people go, oh, shoot, this guy might have a chance, and then you beat him, and then you beat somebody.
Yep, and that's, I remember I was at a show in Princeton. It was a WVCW show, and they bring George South up a lot.
Yeah.
And George was in the middle of a match, and somebody just shouted out, you're a jobber. And he just looked out into the crowd as serious as could be and said, yeah, and I also live in a mansion. Like, and I was like, that's the greatest response, because it's true. Like,
I saw someone tweet X-Pac one time about Zack Ryder losing his last 150 matches, and X-Pac tweeted back, I bet he didn't lose his last 150 paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, dude, if WWE was like, we'll give you $50,000 a year to come in and lose every match, I'd be like, where do I sign up?
I would sign that thing in blood.
Yeah. It's funny, man. And I went to when ECW, or not ECW, when Shane Douglas did the Extreme Rising, or Extreme Reunion.
Yeah.
It was the very first one they did. It was in Philly. It was at the Armory. It wasn't at the arena, because it was like, I think right as the arena was in that weird spot where they didn't want wrestling there anymore.
Yeah.
And so I went up there with a couple of buddies, and I was talking to Stevie Richards up there, and I had mentioned something about, you know, people, because I think Stevie Richards is one of the most talented dudes. I think he's super underrated, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
But I was talking to him about, you know, that, and he said, here's the deal. He said, I get more calls than, and he wasn't, like, negative about it, but he was like, I'll get more calls than just about anybody in this building, because I'll do whatever a promoter tells me.
Right.
He said, I'm not going to go in and be like, I need to win, I need to do this. He said, they know if they need something done, they'll call me, because I'll do it. And I was like, that's a good way to look at that, man. You have fun with your job, and that's, you can't ask for more than that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, now you were at the show when the Hardys came into, Madison, correct?
Correct. Yes.
That was, maybe, honestly, this past show that Gary had looked super packed. I didn't get to make it to that one, but that has to be the biggest crowd that he's ever had. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because Gary has massive crowds, but this was a gigantic crowd.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And, you know, that was, the Hardy Boys were huge at that point. So
that was like one of the last gigs before.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was because they did that one, and I think it aired on TV, and I think maybe one more aired before they WWE picked them up. So they weren't around much longer after that.
That's crazy. What was it like working? I don't remember actually who they worked. Mathis and Rocky, wasn't it?
And Rocky, yeah. Uh-huh.
But you had a match that night.
Yeah, I wrestled Matt Conard.
Okay. What was just like, because I mean, you're used to wrestling in front of bigger crowds, because like I said, Gary, I've not seen indie shows book crowds like, or have crowds like Gary has. I guess it's from where he brings in names and puts on a good product too, but his crowds always seem like there's like several hundred people there. But what was the crowd like that night, man? What was it like working in front of like just a massive packed out crowd?
You know, it's anytime you get a good crowd, and like you said, Gary always has good crowds, but anytime you get a big crowd like that, it's awesome, especially, I can remember that night, they were very receptive to anything you did, so, it's super fun, and it makes your job easy if, like I said, if they're super receptive to, if I'm cheating and they want to boo.
Right.
It's fun.
That's cool. What was the locker room like that night? Was it just electric?
It was. I mean, everyone was excited. It was kind of hectic because we were they were shooting all that backstage stuff for the for that segment.
For the Impact
So
segment, right?
we had to do a couple of pre-tapes of like the Hardy Boys coming in our locker room and that kind of thing. So and that took a while, so.
Actually, I'm glad that you said that because I was actually talking to a buddy. I literally was talking to my buddy Stevie about this the other day. We were talking about one of Gary that show specifically. Impact sent their own camera people? Did they send their own camera people, or was that something that you all recorded? Like, how did that work?
No, they brought their own people. They brought Jeremy Borash and one more guy, and so Jeremy Borash was kind of the producer of all that stuff, and so
Okay, so the Hardys brought their own camera crew, essentially. Okay.
So we had at Madison we actually have two separate locker rooms, like and you actually have to like walk outside to get to the other one. But anyway, so we could hear like them taping it over on the other side. And after a couple minutes, they came back over to our locker room and told us what they wanted. And so we did a couple takes of that. But I would probably say the hardest part of all that stuff is have you seen the episode?
No, I've actually wanted to go back and watch it. When we were talking about it the other day, I said I was going to go find it because I didn't even get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube, but there's a part in there where like the Hardys and Mathis and Rocky are like staring down in the locker room, and then they wanted the rest of the roster to get into like a big brawl, but they were like, "Yeah, so get into this big brawl. Don't make any noise. We'll add it in post." And so that's, you know what I mean? That's the hardest thing. That was one of the hardest things ever because, if I'm punching or kicking someone, I'm going to make noise. And so it
Yeah.
was hard not to do that.
Yeah, you've trained 17 years to do that.
Right, yeah. So that was pretty difficult not to make to fight and make no noise at all.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Mathis is another dude I love, man. I love his intensity.
I love Mathis,
That's
yeah.
have you ever worked Mathis?
Yeah, I wrestled him. He used to have a tag partner whose name I cannot remember, and me and my tag partner back then did a little program with them, and then I've wrestled singles a couple times. Once for Gary, I think I've only wrestled him singles once for Gary.
Gotcha. Okay. I think he's a super talented dude, man.
He is. He definitely is.
I think he's getting ready to be in a deathmatch tournament actually next weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. New Jersey.
It's actually in Shinston. It's Lords of Anarchy.
Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't see that then.
Yeah, which he does work for Matt Tremont's promotion. He's the champ. I think he's still the champ for H2O.
Yeah, that's what I saw then. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, and I know outside of wrestling, just because you'd even commented on that post, you play games and such, or at least,
Yeah.
do you play the WWE games at all, or do you play, I know you said you were downloading Fire Pro as we were speaking, but.
Yeah, no, I do. I play the WWE games. I play like the Uncharted series. I play Far Cry.
Are you a PlayStation dude? Or do you have both or all of them?
I have both. I tend to lean toward PlayStation, but I do have both.
Gotcha. And I'm sure. And you just had a kid, correct? I'm sure time
I
has.
did. He was 3 weeks old Monday.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, congratulations on that for sure.
Thank you.
I'm
Thank
sure
you.
your time has been spent a little differently the last several weeks.
Yeah. But I wouldn't change it. It's awesome, so.
That's super cool. Yeah, man, I'm excited for some for some fire pro. Maybe we can get together and play some
Yeah,
at some point. So
I'll give you my gamer tag.
yeah, man. Yes, shoot it to me in a message. So I don't think I really have anything else, and I know that with a kid you probably got some stuff going on. And I'm gonna probably jump off here and play some fire pro, man. Is there anything that you want to say right off, or is there anything just anything you want to add to it or anything before we wrap it up?
No, I'll plug Gary's shows.
Yeah,
that
go
are
for
coming
it.
Up. So Thursday, September 13th, that's at the Madison Civic Center. The bell time is 7 p.m. and that's an actual that show is free. So that's
yeah,
his
fan appreciation show.
Yeah, his fan appreciation show. All tickets are free. So if you've ever thought about coming out and seeing it, now's your chance. You don't have an excuse. And then October 13th, again, bell time 7 p.m. Madison Civic Center. Tickets are $13 for that one. And he'll have Ronnie Garvin, Nikita Koloff, and I'll actually be wrestling Gangrel in a casket match.
Whoa.
So
whoa.
That should be fun.
That's cool that you're working Gangrel. I saw that he had Gangrel on it.
Yeah.
Gangrel and yeah, oh, actually, one thing I will ask before we wrap it up. You said casket matches. What are some of the stipulations? I know that you've worked a cage, because I remember seeing you and Rocky in a cage for Gary.
Yeah.
What are some of the gimmick, not, I don't want to say gimmick like negatively, but what are some of the stipulation matches that you've worked? Or is there anything specific, I should say?
Well, I've done, like you said, cage matches. I've done XMCW, not the XMCWC now, but it used to be owned by a guy named Alan Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
That ran shows in St. Albans. And he actually built the rig for like an Ultimate X.
Whoa,
so I've done
awesome.
They were pretty fun. So I've done a couple of those. I would say probably the one of the crazier ones I've ever done is it was called like a fan strap match. So basically it was a lumberjack match of fans, and they paid like X amount of dollars, and they gave him a belt. And so, you know, if
were you working heel that night?
Of course. Every time I've done it, I work heel. So, so you know, every time you go outside or roll outside or you get thrown outside, they're beating you with the belts, and it's interesting to say the least.
Man, that's crazy.
I've done a couple unlucky 13 matches, which are you have $13 bills, and the first person to get 7 stapled to them loses. So I've done a couple of those. So
that, I mean, I could see that. That's almost, staple guns are borderline deathmatch related. Not totally, but that's an interesting. Did you?
I would say it's a very mild form of that kind of match. I've lost all of them.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I actually did one for a promoter, and he tried to take the $7 back, and I said, it is stable to me, it's going to stay with me.
Yeah, that's my tip. That's interesting. Do you have a favorite that you, a favorite of the gimmick matches that you would be okay, maybe you would, not that you wouldn't do any of them again, but is there one that you would favor over the others that you had a better time with?
I always like doing ladder matches.
Okay.
If I had to guess, I've probably done upwards of 30.
Wow.
But, you know, again, I was around when the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian had that one in Cleveland that blew everyone's mind.
Right.
And so those are always fun because I like to try to come up with different ways to incorporate the ladder or whatever. It's, you know, it's hard to come up with anything original now, but
yeah.
I like to try.
Nice. Maybe you can get some sort of ladder match or something soon. I don't know.
I'm trying. Gary's, I'm trying.
Hopefully.
I wanted to do one with Rocky when we were feuding, and it just never happened.
Yeah, and see, what sucks is I went to that cage match, and then there was like kind of a blow-off at the next show, but I didn't get to see it. It was when Steph Leppard was supposed to face, I guess, Rocky's wife.
I think it was me and Steph Leppard against Rocky and his wife.
Okay, so it was
yeah.
Tag. What was that kind of the end of that? I don't remember. It seems like I went to the show after that and it was just kind of said and done.
I want to say that was the end of it. I can't really remember, but I think that was the end of it. That was the second cage match, right, that you saw?
Yeah.
Was it a bunch of ladders and tables and all that?
Yeah, there was a ton of stuff
Yeah.
in, yeah.
Yeah, that was the second one.
Okay. I didn't know that there was two of them.
Well, the first one was a couple years before that, maybe 3 years or so.
Okay, got it. Yeah, no, this one's fairly recent, like I think fairly recent, within the last year maybe.
Yeah, it probably about a year or a year and a half, yeah.
So, huh. Nice. Well, yeah, hopefully that stuff will go through and Gary can get some good stuff in there. And it's actually pretty cool, man. Hopefully I'll be able to make it to the next one. It's hard for me. I live in Bluefield, so it's kind of tough sometimes to make the 3 hour trip, but
Right, yeah.
I plan on trying to get there for the Halloween show for sure. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate you jumping on here and, yeah, definitely anybody listening, go check out Gary's promotion, ASW, and any other promotion that we mentioned. I just mentioned Gary 'cause it's where I know you from. And I find Gary to run one of the better, if not, one of the best promotions in West Virginia, but one of the best promotions
Yep.
regionally. Great shows. So,
Yeah, I definitely agree.
but man, I appreciate it. And, thanks everybody for listening. And, I will see you all in the next episode.